Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the podcast. This is the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Fresh week of shows coming right at you on time. Recorded the week of the. So, you know, we've had to bank some the past couple weeks because I was in Australia and we had other stuff going on, but now they're fresh. They're up to date. Mm. You know, within a couple days, let's be honest.
You won't find them in the discount bin.
What'd you say?
Mm-hmm. You won't find them in the discount bin.
Wait, what does that mean?
Because in the discount bin is all like the stuff because we have someone in the studio.
Oh, yeah. The
this
old,
is new.
Oh, yeah.
The
that's
squid.
A reference to what Julie Glaser likes to eat.
That's Noah's catchphrase, too. She's been saying that a lot.
I'm like, where have I missed this reference? But yes, she did say it like Julie Glazer, who is here, says it.
I know. She's
not gonna
speaking
find
for
those
me.
In the discount bin.
And then we don't want them.
Yeah. we don't want it. Julie Glazer is here. Hi, Mom. Welcome
Hi,
to the show.
Hi, Nikki. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're twinning today. We're wearing the same sweatshirt. She came in wearing a sweatshirt that I got us both for Christmas.
She had to hurry up and put hers on.
I put mine on, and as my mom was taking hers off, being like, it is hot in here. And I go, but I'm putting it on to look like
so
you.
So I'm hot right
and
now.
And so now she's hot. And and Brian Frangie's here. I was with Brian all weekend. We were in Port Chester, New York on Sunday night. Yeah. And then
Brian
we were
was
in
with you.
Ben Salem at Parks Casino on Saturday night.
Wow.
Yes. Good shows, great crowds, lots of besties.
You had a good crowd turnout on Sunday night?
Honestly, yeah.
Great.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. You were
to
nervous
Westchester
because of
County,
the,
New York.
The Oscars.
During the Oscars.
During the literally during as the well the Oscars started an hour before so you could have maybe
earlier
watched
this time.
The opening monologue and then zipped to the theater and seen it. But
Ryan Gosling went to the Oscars and then came to Nikki's show
there.
In Worcester.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would have been
I'm so glad he didn't make it to our show because
he had to hurry
I
up
have watched his performance of I'm Just Ken three times.
Oh my God.
And I want to watch it 4 and 5 and 6, but I'm trying to like taper it because I want to maximize the joy that it gives me every time. So I'm trying not to overdo it.
What'd you like about it? What is it?
Was
so happy.
So good. Okay, first of all, this song, the movie itself was great, but Ken's arc I haven't even considered. Like there's so many times with a song that I'll just hear it and it's just a song and it's good and it sounds good and I like the way it sounds and it makes me feel a certain way, but I don't really like know why. And then I'm watching it, you know, at the Oscars, and I've watched it now 2 or 3 times, and I'm like, oh, this song's fucking amazing. This is a song about a guy who's overshadowed by Barbie, doesn't feel seen by Barbie, is in a relationship where he's not getting his needs met, and he doesn't feel like he has value. And so he inherently thinks he doesn't have value in anywhere. And because the whole world is built, his world that he lives in, Barbie Land, is built to make him feel marginalized. So he's this man with low self-esteem that's constantly acting like it's not a problem, right? Like, I'm okay. Because I watched Barbie again last night, or I started watching it, and I kind of saw his struggle, which I already knew about, but I wasn't in tune with it, of like, this guy is just putting up with constantly being told that his feelings don't matter. And that, oh, he's like, Barbie, you want to hang out tonight? And she's like, I'm having a sleepover with the girls, and we're going to have it forever, every night, for eternity. And he's just like, of course, why would I even want to stay? Okay, yeah. And then he like kind of slinks off dancing. So he has this like sad existence. And so the song is a realization of that. The song comes out of the moment where he realizes like, what am I? I'm just Ken. Like, she's Barbie and I'm just Ken. And it's like, I'm just Ken. Anywhere else I'd be a 10. What'll it take for her to, you know, to, I'm just Ken. Where she sees love, where I see love, she sees a friend. Like, she's never, he's never going to get seen. And then the song shifts and it becomes, by the end of it, it turns out, to, it starts out the sad song of, I'm just Ken, anywhere else I'd be a 10. And then it goes to like, I'm just Ken, and so am I. Put that manly hand in mine. And it's like, becomes this thing of like, we are just Ken. And it's triumphant. So it has this arc, a story
crescendo.
Arc. Where it's like, listening to it the first through, you know, probably 12 times I've heard it, because I have it on my, on Spotify, I just am like, oh, it's like a song about just being like mediocre, but there's a turn in it where he is really proud of being Ken, and then this whole group of people is are singing, and so am I. And then at the Oscars, to have Emma Stone say, and so am I, was just like, that we're all Ken, you know? And that, and being Ken isn't so bad, and that you are maybe not as talented or shiny or as perfect looking or as like get as much attention as Barbie, and you never will. You live in a world
where
I prefer
Bono walking around holding a balloon going, where are my keys? Are my children safe?
Don't get me started.
Is this
again
my house?
Steve where? Jobs.
That's a better performance, I think.
It was just, and he's so, he just does this thing where, you know, you want him to commit to the character hard, which he absolutely does, but he's also not trying too hard. There's like these, the way he walks, he's just like smooth. The way he like, he kind of mails in some of the dance moves that looks like he's not trying, but it's like, that's a part of his character, is this guy who's like doing the dance moves, but doesn't really care. So like, there's just, he's just so cool.
Oh,
Ryan Gosling's just Ryan so Gosling's fucking cool.
Yeah.
And people are like, impressed by how good of a dancer and singer he is. Dude, this guy was in the Mickey Mouse Club. That's that's MK Ultra. That's MK Ultra for,
oh my god, I haven't heard that in a long
for
time.
Talent. MK Ultra is why
what is that?
That's well, you heard about MK Ultra in the Kennedy assassination Reiner podcast.
Back.
Okay.
And that is what the CIA used to mind control people.
Oh.
And that's, he went through, it's he was MK Ultra in Atlanta, I think.
Okay. To develop super soldiers to combat the Russians in the Cold War. And they were, you know, the Bourne series?
Yep.
The Bourne, that's an MK Ultra movie.
Okay.
Oh,
Bourne is MK Ultra guy. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Mickey Mouse Club is MK Ultraing for just talent. Like, if you want someone to kill the president, MK Ultra them to assassinate. If you want... If you want someone to perform well the rest of their lives flawlessly, Mickey Mouse Club, get them in there. They will.
Good advice.
I mean, that's really, I mean, that book, The Talent Code, that we read, Brian, like, that's always
love the talent
what
code.
I remember from that. You were the one that recommended that to me, I think, like 7 years ago at this point.
It was a long time ago.
It was, 7 years. Maybe, no, eight. We're in 2024, baby. That was 2016.
In the amount of time that I recommended that, you could have developed a talent.
Honestly, that is not... I did. And like playing guitar, like I definitely researched, or I like referenced the talent code in it. It's like, you're only going to get... Or singing and playing guitar, you're only going to get what you put into it. And the only reason anyone's ever better at you than anything is a little bit of born talent.
Okay.
Like is an aptitude for something. But it's mostly
ultimatum.
Yeah,
that 10,000.
It's mostly the hard work and the repetition and being comfortable with sucking and being okay with sucking and making those little improvements and staying in a zone where you're always working on something that's a little challenging, not too challenging. Yes. Don't try to play, you know, something expert level when you're a beginner, because you will get discouraged
and
you'll
quit.
Right. But it should be something that you could do, but it's a little out of reach.
Right.
And that will always keep you.
That'll keep you interested.
Yeah. But when you, the thing that I'll always remember from that book is Beyonce did not come out Beyonce. Beyonce didn't have a childhood. That's why she's Beyonce. We didn't see the hard work. We didn't see all the hours she put in before she came on the scene when she was, what, 16, 17? But that was 16 years. Let's take away 4 years, because she probably started when she was four. That's 12 years of intense Jackson 5-esque boot camp working.
Really? And, you know that for sure?
She worked her ass off. She was in like dance. She went to like dance schools instead of school. And singing, like,
one of the examples they gave in the book was Jessica Simpson.
Yes.
Also, she was trained from like 4 years old to become a good singer.
Oh.
And so when she was 12, she was an amazing singer because she had been singing already for 8 years.
Yeah.
Same thing with Beethoven. Like anybody who is like a phenom, a quote unquote prodigy,
they started
something
at
like
four.
That. They just, the parents just took a whip and like started, and maybe they wanted to do it too.
Yeah.
But what kind of 4 year old,
they don't
like,
knows that
wants to put in that work without the parents.
Well, they do if it means that it's going to get their parents to love them. And so that's why I'm an Enneagram 3, and that is that's what we're achievers. Now, I'm like a low end achieving 3. Like optimal 3s are like Beyonce's.
Okay.
And Taylor Swift's.
Wait, they go up to what?
No, it's like it's 9 different numbers.
Oh.
But if you're an Enneagram 3, you're the achiever, and you in your core, you feel like you don't have value unless you are a success. And usually that success is determined by what your parents are into. So if you and dad were
guitar players.
Yeah, exactly. No, but you dad is, so that's not a good example. But if you were florists and like your big thing was like, what's it called when they do like landscaping. Landscaping is our family's business was landscaping, and you were so amazed by like yard architecture.
Okay.
I would have probably gotten into that field as a 3.
Okay. You want to please your parents.
Yeah,
because it only applies to yard architecture though, to be clear.
You know, like whatever your parents are into, whatever your peer group and the people who you're trying to earn their love are into. And that's not to say because you said I'm not going to love you unless you do this. That's just the disposition I was born with as
a
3.
Maybe she did.
And possibly I got that signaling, but no intent of theirs. But because I've made this connection before, because Howard Stern talks about how he didn't feel like his dad loved him, so he was like, "Oh, but my dad loves the guys on the radio. So I'll just become the best at that."
Oh,
and he'll have to love me because that's what he loves.
Did his dad wind up loving him?
No, his dad's like, I can't speak for Howard, but I would say his dad still doesn't acknowledge how fucking great he is, even though
his father's dead.
No, his father's still alive. Oh, I think he just died.
Yeah, his father's dead. The mother's still alive.
Yes, but his father just died. His dad was around for a while, and I don't think he ever got the validation he wanted. I've got that, and I don't need it anymore. I could stop doing this. Because but it does make sense, because I look back at my life and I'm as a 3, I'm like, and by the way, Enneagram is the fucking shit. Taylor's been trying to get me into it forever. I'm so on board now, and she's like, yeah, of course. Like, she was like, I've been talking about this stuff. She bought me a book for my birthday. I've just cracked it open. It's so interesting because it nails you. Dude, Brian's the challenger. He exploded in
the 80s. I wasn't nailed when all those, there was things that I was like, that's not I was kind of joking, but
there's not all stuff that there's going to be some things that you're like, that doesn't resonate, but
wow, I'm afraid of this.
Don't be afraid, because it really opens up yourself to like, it makes you feel, I like it because it makes me feel less uniquely weird.
Mm.
So the things that make me weird, I'm like, they're written in this book. Like everyone who has this number, who is a 3, which is 16% of people or something like that, 13% of people, somewhere in the 10% range, 10 to 13% have this.
Okay.
And it's not that weird. We all want love in this desperate way. And we all inherently don't really like ourselves that much. And we think that if enough people like us, that'll make us liked, and that it's not that bad of a trait, and that it actually makes sense for you. It's not your fault that you're like this.
Interesting. I'm totally into checking this out.
Yeah. But I mean, this weekend when Sonia from the Desperate Housewives DM'd me, I screenshotted it to serve to you as like, Mom, ooh, see, look, people you love, love me.
Wait, you didn't send that to me. Yeah.
I know, I forgot to send it, but Sonia reached out.
Sonia.
Yeah, I don't. Why? She said she's on tour and she just wanted to reach out. I don't know what that means.
What does that mean?
Yeah, Sonia. She looks like me.
She looks like Barbara Streisand is who she looks like.
Who I think I look like sometimes.
Oh, maybe you do.
Just a prominent nose.
You look like so many people. There was someone at the meet and greet in Ben Salem who looked like you, and they were too nervous to say that that was the case. But then you said it. You said, you look like me.
I say it every time.
Then,
oh, when someone looks like you?
And then
like
the husband
you?
Was like... The husband was like, yes, of course. See, I've been saying this constantly. Yeah. She's like, I know I look like you. I didn't want to say it. He's like, I've been saying.
Because people would.
They're afraid to say it.
Yeah, but I know they think it. And you don't want to go up to a girl like, I think I look like you. If especially if you think she's like super pretty and you're like, I don't want to offend her if I am not as pretty as her. So I'll just give it to them because I know that I see it too.
Yeah.
And so I have literally not said it once where they haven't gone, I told you, John. Like, and they've had the couple's had a moment. Not once. They always have thought
it must
before.
Be very obvious.
And by the way, girls really like girls who look like them. Like the other night, Anya was freaking out about Jodie Foster Sandra Hohler from the Anatomy of a Fall. She's obsessed with her.
What about her?
And I go, why? She looks nothing like you. Because Anya's usually obsessed with women who look like her. Like, you will always notice. Because every girl. Yeah, Meg Ryan. Every girl likes people that look like them. Everyone. I mean, it's part of my Taylor Swift. If Taylor Swift had black hair or a raven hair, I probably wouldn't. I can't.
You wouldn't relate to her.
As much. I would guess. I can't imagine that. I hope that's not true. But I think it's part of it.
Yeah.
And so when I see girls that look like me, I'm like, it's part of why you like me, because I kind of look like you and you like yourself. That's a good sign.
You
like people that look like you.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with this.
No, I love it. Yeah. Who do you think you look like?
I don't think I look like anybody. I like
Jodie Foster is who you look like.
Stevie Nicks. Jodie.
Dude, Jodie Foster.
Is that why you just mentioned her?
No, but Anya does love her too. And I was like, you don't look like her either. But you look so, the other night at the Academy Awards, I was like, there's my mom.
Are you kidding?
Identical.
I thought she looked really cute the other night.
She's so cute. Yeah, you look like her.
But I didn't think she looked cute in the movie that she was.
Well, I don't think she was trying to look cute.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
I can kind of see it.
The Oscars triggered Anya and I.
But
why? People just look too hot. And yesterday we both had a little bit of a dark day because also Matt sent us all the photos from the weekend that he took of us. And like, there's just some hard truths learned about our aging heads.
Jeez.
It's just hard to see. I know that you're like, you're so young. What are you talking about? But like, when you were my age, you were having the same problems. 100%. We watched home video the other night and you were like, ugh, look at me. I'm like, you are 32.
I have like 15 different hairstyles.
Yeah,
you're
trying some stuff out.
I know, weird.
Well, we have lots to talk about on the show today. There was a photo shoot last week. There was the Oscars. I want to talk more about that. We got triggered. We had shows over the weekend. Noah's wedding, we're going to go really in depth on. Yes?
Before Noah's wedding, I have a question about Enneagrams because there's 9 types of Enneagrams. Yeah. There's a thing that I followed called the 9 fears, which is also a way to break down like character types. And I want to know if it's the same thing, just in reverse.
Well, there is a thing on Enneagram that's like your number one fear as this Enneagram. So it's based around fears. Like that's a way to learn about yourself. So each Enneagram does have a base fear.
Okay.
Because this Enneagram, like you're driven by love.
Enneagram is a personality test.
You want to be loved, though. Each one of them is, I want to be loved.
I think every person wants to be loved.
But that's what the Enneagram's breaking it down by, love.
Degree of love?
No. I don't think so. I don't know enough. Taylor should be here to answer that, but I do not think that that's what it's breaking it down.
Oh, okay.
It's based on just your disposition, what you were born with, and also nurture. So what your childhood was like, and your probably birth order plays into that, just what you experienced as a childhood, your sensitivity just based on how you came out. So it's constantly in the margins of this book. It's like, this isn't your parents' fault. It's we're not saying this is all your parents' fault. They keep reminding, like, this is just kind of how you are as well. but it is your parents' stuff too. So it's like, it's both of those things. It's really scientific. It's not astrology. It's Enneagram is the shit. Everyone should take a test. Maybe we'll give the test to you, Mom, and then everyone at home can take the test with us because it's really short.
That would be great. I'd
do
it.
Back, okay. When we get back, we'll do an Enneagram test. Okay. And get out your pens and paper because you'll just remember two letters. So I think everyone can do that. We'll be right back.
Scared.
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of. A degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Okay, we're back. Here comes the Enneagram test that I sent to my girls' chat last week because I wanted everyone to just redo theirs. So and then I gave Brian this test this week. He was an 8. Let's see what everyone else gets. I'll give you the, so you just have to, let me just say before this, this select one paragraph in each of the following two groups. So I'm going to go through two groups of paragraphs. There are 3 paragraphs per group. And you got to figure out which of the paragraphs best reflects your general attitudes and behaviors as you have been most of your life. Okay. You do not have to agree completely with every word or statement in the paragraph you select. You may agree with only 80 to 90% of a particular paragraph, okay? But and you could still select that paragraph over the other two in the group. However, you should agree with the general tone and overall philosophy of the paragraph you select. You will probably disagree with some part of each of the paragraphs, okay?
Okay.
Do not reject a paragraph because of a single word or phrase.
Okay.
Again, look at the overall picture. Don't overanalyze your choices. Select the paragraph that you have a gut feeling about, okay?
Okay. All right.
So you get it. All right. So this is the first group of paragraphs, 3 paragraphs. Pick which one. A, I have tended to be fairly independent and assertive. I felt that life works best when you meet it head on. I set my own goals, get involved, and want to make things happen. I don't like sitting around. I want to achieve something big and have an impact. I don't necessarily seek confrontations, but I don't let people push me around either. Most of the time, I know what I want and I go for it. I tend to work hard and to play hard. B, I have tended to be quiet and am used to being on my own. I usually don't draw much attention to myself socially, and it's generally unusual for me to assert myself all that forcefully. I don't feel comfortable taking the lead or being as competitive as others. Many would probably say that I'm something of a dreamer. A lot of my excitement goes on in my imagination. I can be quite content without feeling I have to be active all the time. Or C, I have tended to be extremely responsible and dedicated. I feel terrible if I don't keep my commitments and do what's expected of me. I want people to know that I'm there for them and that I'll do what is I believe is best for them. I've often made great personal sacrifices for the sake of others, whether they know it or not. I often don't take adequate care of myself. I do the work that needs to be done and relax, and I do what I really want if there's time left.
C.
We got a C on our hands. We got a live one. Noah?
Oh, I'm definitely the B.
Okay, Noah's a B. And Brian, you're A, right?
Yeah, I was A.
I was A as well. Okay. Group two.
Pennsylvania 8.
Okay, so this is either X, Y, or Z. X. I am a person who usually maintains a positive outlook and feels that things will work out for the best. I can usually find something to be enthusiastic about and different ways to occupy myself. I like being around people and helping others to be happy. I enjoy sharing my own well-being with them. I don't always feel great, but I try not to show it to anyone. However, staying positive has sometimes meant that I've put off dealing with my own problems for too long. Why? I am a person who has strong feelings about things. Most people can tell when I'm unhappy about something. I can be guarded with people, but I'm more sensitive than I let on. I want to know where I stand with others and who and what I can count on. It's pretty clear to most people where they stand with me. When I'm upset about something, I want others to respond and to get as worked up as I am. I know the rules, but I don't want people telling me what to do. I want to decide for myself. Z. I tend to be self-controlled and logical. I am uncomfortable dealing with feelings. I am efficient, even perfectionistic, and prefer working on my own. When there are problems or personal conflicts, I try not to bring my feelings into the situation. Some say I'm too cool and detached, but I don't want my emotional reactions to distract me from what's really important to me. I usually don't show my reactions when others get to me.
Z.
All right, so we've got a CZ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's CZ.
Oh, mom's a one.
Oh, the Whoa. Reformer.
The reformer. Rational, oh my God. Principled, self-controlled. Uh-huh. That's what Chris is.
Oh.
A reformer.
Oh, uh-oh.
You like things to be right and just.
Wow.
Is that true?
You're attracted sure. to reformers.
I'm attracted to my mom. And I worked out on a reformer today at Pilates.
Oh, yeah.
That's the
opera. That's what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh. It was AZ, if you want to know if you're playing along. Noah, you were
BX.
You are the peacemaker, receptive, reassuring, complacent. That's not nothing. The third one is really
I know
a dutiful wife,
pushover,
good at baking things.
Victim. No, the peacemaker is Obama's a peacemaker, so it's a good thing to.
Oh
it's,
yeah,
there's good people in that one. And then Brian,
tell that
you
to the
were
people he droned.
AY, the challenger, self confident,
yeah,
decisive,
right.
Domineering.
They're right.
Well,
a shuttle
one of the
exploded.
Things that I liked about Brian's this weekend when we were reading it is that he, unexpected. That one of it was that sometimes they shout to get their point across, but it's not because they're angry. That's just they get worked up. And both Anya's husband, Matt, and Brian are challengers. And Anya was like, oh my God, that's so helpful to hear. Because when you learn what your partner's thing is, you can learn like, hey, eights sometimes will shout to get their point across, but they don't.
Yeah.
It's not because they're mad. And then you can
right.
then hear that and go, okay, maybe I'm not going to take offense. Like, I know I shout when I'm mad, but eights don't. So maybe when my
oh
husband
my God.
Shouts.
I do that all the
you
time.
You shout
and
so
I do it
much.
On stage.
Yes, you
I
do.
I do it on stage, too.
Yes. Wow.
It's such
pretty
a thing.
Pretty true to form.
I can't stop myself from shouting.
Oh, man. Wait a minute. I want to know what a reformer does again.
Like you?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go through Enneagram 1. Let's go through some of the things.
So in my world, this is all about the fear, which is that she's afraid of being evil.
That could be
yes.
very true.
Well, you have a core desire. Your core desire is to be perfect.
Oh.
Mm.
You struggle with your inner critic. You are very orderly.
Check.
your biggest fear is imperfection. Mm-hmm. You want to be cozy. I don't know. You are organized.
Cozy, like under a cover.
And you can be control. Yes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, she makes
that's
so homes true. Cozy.
Totally.
What's that like I'm Norwegian totally. Coziness thing called?
Oh, yeah. There's like, a word for Norwegians. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot it.
You can be controlling that. To maintain perfection. Mm-hmm. Let's see. At your best, you're ethical, reliable, productive, wise, idealistic, conscientious, honest, orderly, and self-disciplined. At your worst, you're a cunt. No. You're judgmental, inflexible, dogmatic, critical of others, uptight, controlling, anxious, jealous, fixated on imperfections. Does that all... Do you some feel like it resonates?
Yeah. It could be kind of close.
Yuga.
It starts to hurt your feelings a little bit.
Yeah, but I see some of that. Yeah, for yeah. sure. That's...
It's... But reading about it, like, I have the whole book. I can give you a whole chapter on yourself because it shows you how to, like, relieve these types of things.
Uh-huh. Oh.
A healthy one can, like, what you can do in your life to mitigate some of those things. Because at your best, ones have all of these things that other numbers don't have okay. that you can bring to others and to the world mm-hmm. that you might be getting in the way of sharing those. Like, you have special things. You have things as a one that make you, like, worse off. But you have things that you can bring to the table that no one else can that
gotcha.
Are so important.
Gotcha.
And can you vacillate between, like, being good and being bad? Or yeah. are you just, like... stuck.
No, I think you can. I think it's like when you're in halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Mm. That's when you're going to go to these mm-hmm. negative aspects of yourself. I just made that up. Halt is a, you know, 12-step kind of thing. Uh-huh. But that's whenever you're like acting out or like never make a decision when you're in halt, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Like always ask yourself, okay. halt, stop, halt, and say, what am I any of these things right now? And then mm-hmm. and then proceed.
Hungry, angry,
lonely, tired.
Tired.
Got it.
Yeah. That helps me, but not until after the fact. And I go, oh, it's yeah, I was angry.
Halt.
Oh, wait, yeah. I was Whoops. All. I was at. I was hot. I was hat. I was hungry, angry, and tired.
So are there certain Enneagram types that get along better with other
yes.
types?
Okay. Yeah.
And it's in like friends and relationships, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Like if you go on a YouTube dive, like it's for our listeners that took the quiz along with us, go like pull up what your number is. Oh, I should go through I'm so sorry. I didn't go through what everyone was. If you got AX, you're a 7, the enthusiast. If you got AY, you're 8, the challenger. If you got AZ, you're the 3, you're achiever. Mm-hmm. If you got BX, you're the peacemaker. If you got BY, or sorry, if you got BX, you're 9, the peacemaker. If you got BY, you're 4, the individualist. If you're BZ, you're a 5, the investigator. If you got CX, you're 2, the helper. If you got CY, you're 6, the loyalist. And if you got CZ, like my mom, you're number 1, the reformer. So what you go, just go to YouTube, type in Enneagram and then your number. And there's tons of experts. Some people that are like, you know, what's it called? Armchair therapist.
Armchair therapist.
Bullshit
yeah.
artists.
But a lot of these people like have read enough. They might not have a degree, but they've done their research. I have to turn everyone on to my new favorite therapist on YouTube. Hmm. I'm not kidding you. This girl has cracked me wide open, and it's not Enneagram.
Damn.
I'm obsessed with her. And I know I told you all about Hannah Uri.
Oh, that's the word
who
for
the
Norwegian.
Girl that does.
Coziness.
Uri. Hannah Uri, U-I-R-I, is the woman who does the restorative yoga for people who've been through trauma. And I just listen to them. I don't even do them. And I should do them. But I listen to them and they soothe me. And they're amazing. Some besties wrote to me to ask for the name again. So I want to just give a shout out because she is truly, she's a lifesaver to me.
Wow.
Like, her videos are just...
Wait, what's her name?
Hannah Uri. I'll send some to you. You just put the phone next to your head or headphones in
yeah.
and listen to her tell you what to do yoga style. But the thing is, you don't have to do any of it because the whole thing is because it's for trauma sufferers. It's for people who've been like sexually assaulted. It okay. really is. Like it's trauma-based yoga. And so every time she tells you to do something, she goes, if you want, you don't have to do any of this. And I choose to not do any of it. But she's okay with that. because it's like, it's only if you want.
Oh.
Every, literally everything you can. And now you're going to peel your spine up off the mat if that feels comfortable for you to do. And it's like so nice to hear a class where everything is like, if you don't do this, you fail.
Interesting.
Like everything is optional. Thus, you can opt out of the whole thing and she still likes you.
Wow.
It's really like the most comforting thing for someone who's a three or I think a one to listen to.
Huh.
As someone who's an achiever and a perfectionist, it's just so nice. But here's the new girl I'm onto that I discovered this weekend. This bitch has my number. And she knows everything about me. She is just speaking to my soul and wow. making so much sense. And the way she talks, she repeats herself enough that and says it in different ways. And she talks so clearly, but it's off the dome. She's not like reading notes. She's not boring. She talks dynamically. She's incredible. I cannot wait to tell you about her. Her name is Heidi Priebe. Priebe. Heidi Priebe. And she's just amazing. I have not, you know, I've listened to so many different talks
How
on YouTube.
Do you find someone like her?
Well,
how did
old
you find
Glaze
her?
Dog was going through it. This week, just okay. like what's wrong with me? What's going on? Why can't I commit to things? What am I scared of? I got into the Enneagram. I'm like looking into myself. I want to like, you know, I want to just figure out what's going on here. What are these blocks? And I think I typed in, oh, you know what? I listened to a thing this weekend about shame. So there was this really boring guy, and I wanted to send you the video, Brian, because you were talking about the topic of shame, and I said, oh my God, I have a great video on that. And this guy, I was feeling shame. I just have always known that shame's a part of who I am. Like, if I get shamed, it's devastating. If someone, like, tries to make me feel bad about something I did, they might as well punch me in the face. Like, it's the worst thing you can do to me.
You hate the term shame on you.
Yeah, I do. Because it means, like, what you just did is your fault. That's why I love no free will. Nothing's my fault.
Right.
I didn't mean to do that. My brain just decided to do that. It's not me. It's my, you know, I love it not being at my core, because at my core, I have toxic shame, which Heidi taught me that I have. But before that, I watched a video about shame by this guy. Let me find it, because I actually sent it to Anya last night, because she was having a dark night of the soul, as she called it. And I said, you should check out this guy's video. Well, now I can't find it, but I'll find it in a second. He had this video about overcoming shame by practicing self-compassion. And Dr. Chris Germer, G-E-R-M-E-R, Shame and Self-Compassion. It is a hour-long, it's called Self-Compassion, an Antidote to Shame. That's the name of the video. If you struggle with shame, this really helped me. So he talks about how what shame is feeling embarrassed about something you did, right? Feeling like, I'm a bad person because I did this. I chose the wrong thing. I'm making bad choices for myself. I'm embarrassed at the thing I did.
Okay.
But what that really is, if you really break it down, is that what you are just sad that what you think you did is going to get you less love. You're thinking when you've experienced shame, you're mourning the loss of potential love. People aren't going to love me as much because I chose to do this thing. I'm such a bad person. I fail at getting love. And when you really break it down, it's all about like you're just someone who wants love. The fact that you feel shame is just you being someone who desperately wants love. And if you start thinking about everyone in the world, besides psychopaths probably, all just desperately want love, and I would even argue that they do as well, you can feel more connected to other people. And if you, he asks you at the very end if you're willing to do it to go into, he's like, okay, now he talks for like 45 minutes about shame and what it is and unlocks it. And then he goes, okay, now I want you to imagine like a thing that you're like 30%, like it gets you about 30% anxious even thinking about how embarrassed you were and how shameful it is. Like for me, I was like, pictured my bedside table and like how many cans of Zevia there are. And there might be a vibrator. And there might be like one earphone that I didn't put back in its little case because I was too lazy. And then I pictured the piece of paper on the floor in my bedroom from my new mattress that has been on the floor for 2 weeks because I just don't have any reason to pick it up. It's a piece of paper that came with it that's like, here's your new Strava mattress. I hope you like it. And it's just, I keep stepping over it. It's literally on the way to my bed. I have to step over it, and I just haven't picked it up. So I just pictured that.
Okay.
That's about 30% shame of, like, if someone saw this and knew how long this has been here.
Yeah.
Which I'm now, like, talking about, which, by the way, sharing about your shameful things is a huge antidote to shame.
Oh, it okay.
Is. AKA why I became a comedian.
Like, getting it off your chest, telling someone about it.
Yeah.
Admitting the thing you're ashamed about publicly, whether that's to a friend or, like, to your husband, to a therapist, is a way to get shame to lift.
Yeah.
So he, like, so but he makes you go into it. Yeah.
Shame and embarrassment, like, are they the same then? Are they different?
I don't think so.
No, I don't know. I think they kind of are. I think embarrassment is a type of shame.
To me, embarrassment is more surface level in the moment, and shame is, like, deeply rooted. This struck the core of your being, and you don't even. It's like you can get embarrassed by, like, doing, like, oh my God, I spilled a drink on my pants and now it looks like I pissed myself. Now I'm embarrassed. But you're not going to feel deep shame unless when you were growing up.
I think it's light
up,
shame.
And embarrassment is shame light.
Yeah, it's shame. It's okay. It's diet shame.
Yeah, diet shame.
But well, I think it's a product of shame.
Yeah, like if you spill, because when I'm really feeling confident, I can fall over in a chair. I can trip. I can get food on my face and someone goes, you have something on your face, and I don't care. Mm-hmm. But if I'm coming from a place of shame, those things are like, oh my God, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh God, now I ruined my pants. And people think, like, so it definitely is connected to how you're feeling. But lots of people, including myself, have a thing called toxic shame, which is what this Heidi girl opened me up about. And that's like, at your core, something happened to you early in your life, and it could have been an event of abuse. It could have been literally, like I've talked about on the show before, like you were a baby and someone was in a bad mood around you one day when you really needed them to not be. Mm. Like, you could have been, like, watching me one day and just, like, been in just a bad mood and not met my needs. And I'm like, gah, 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 and you're just kind of, like, not smiling at me. And that literally can build in a baby. Which who could ever
believe that?
Could ever
imagine?
Well, not imagine it. Like, how could you avoid being in a bad mood around your baby? Of course you're like. Eventually. But this is why being a parent is so scary.
Yeah,
because you do risk, and it's not your fault, by the way, if you are a parent that does these things, because you're allowed to be in a bad mood around your baby. But I will say that things like that can lead to, if that happens a couple times and a baby's needs aren't being met, or its happiness is getting met with, like, you're too happy and I'm in a bad mood and it's, like, not met, it can lead to that baby feeling like, I am, so there's something wrong with me.
And I have to hide that.
If it's a sensitive baby.
Happiness, I have to hide
and
it.
And then they have to hide it, especially if you have, like I didn't have a depressed mom growing up, but people who do have depressed moms, some of who have been very close to me before. I've had many friends that grew up with moms that were depressed, and they have to, and I've been a depressed person. And when people are happy around me, I fucking hate it, dude. Mm. And I can only imagine if I had a little kid around me being like, look at this is a tree. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like, I would just not, when I'm at my worst depressed wise, I would just be like, I don't, it's a leaf. Why are you excited? Like, I would, I know that it might, if I were 25 as a mom, I would have no way to hide that shit.
I haven't watched all of Heidi's thing, but I watched the one that you sent the girls.
Yeah, what'd you get out of it?
I thought it was very interesting, but I just wanted to touch on, you know, what you were just saying. That kind of puts the blame on one person. But what I got from the video where she was talking about
limerence and toxic shame.
The baby has to take responsibility.
Yes, that's what
to heal itself.
Yeah, I didn't get to that yet. I'm just saying where it can come from.
Yes, so that's what I really liked about it. I liked also what she was talking about, how when you're not really in touch with yourself or working on healing your emotional traumas and issues and all that stuff, your partner, or, you know, whoever you're in a relationship with, the people you surround yourself by, are going to mirror what is the internal struggle that you have. So I really like what she said about mirroring.
Yeah, well, you talk more on that, because I felt like I got it, but I didn't get it. Like, whatever you, so if I feel like inherently I am worthless, unless I'm like So that's what threes feel like. Their biggest fear is being worthless, is being a nobody. And that truly, like, being perfect is not my obsession. I know I'm not perfect.
Okay.
And I used to think I was a perfectionist, but that ain't it. I don't want to be a nobody. Mm-hmm. I want to be someone that people go, I remember her. Like, I just want to stand out and be extraordinary, mm-hmm. not perfect.
You're a three, right?
But yeah, but in my core, it's because
I don't feel like I expect things to be perfect either, or that I want
to
be
yourself.
Perfect. Do you think that?
I think you're a little bit of that.
Really? Okay.
I screwed up this thing. No, it's not good. Like us eating a thing that you're making and you're like, no.
You're right. It's not good.
Yeah, but it's not bad that you're that way. That's just the way you are. It's just your personality. And it's like, and it also, like I said before, it makes you so great in so many ways. But you will, if you're not working on yourself, you choose people that will mirror back to you what you inherently think about yourself, which is... Yeah, I'm not that good.
Or it's just like what you put out there. I think what I liked about that is because I'm trying to do like the hypnotherapy thing now. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about like the mind-body connection. Mm. And I think that what she was saying kind of goes hand in hand in it, which is like when your mind has these negative thoughts about you, your mind has no way of implementing, right? So what it does is it makes your body implement. So it, like, the negative thoughts turn out fit like physical with your body, and whatever, you know, like you think of yourself, I'm not enough, I'm worthless, I'm unloved, I'm always rejected, you're like making your body project that to the world, and then therefore it attracts people who will do that to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. She talks a lot about like the way you physically look, and she's like, I want to be clear, I'm not fat shaming. I don't think you should look a certain way. I think you should not subscribe to like perfectionist stereotypes that you see on TikTok. But she goes, if you don't feed your body good foods and exercise your body and dress your body in things that make it look good and feel good, you're not respecting yourself. And if you're not respecting yourself, no one's going to respect you. So when you go out and when you are feeding your body trash, when you are drinking Diet Cokes, even though Diet Cokes
no
actually
shame.
Make me feel amazing. No shame. But like if I'm, you know, smoking weed to the point where my throat is burning.
Yeah.
Would I do that to a baby? Would I do that to something that I loved? You have to respect yourself, right, and feed yourself good foods and things that will like make you feel good. It's self-respect. And I used to always say, oh, wearing makeup is so sad, and like getting lip filler and all these things. Like, God, I'm just trying to like get people to like me that way. But I have a new perception on it, which is I'm just trying to look the way I feel. I'm trying to, like, I feel pretty when I have lip filler or whatever it is. That's a bad example because I don't feel pretty with lip filler, but with a lip flip, I do feel pretty. If you put a little Botox above my lip and it flips up, I feel prettier. And that's not vapid of me to get. That's me trying to put on the outside what I do feel on the inside.
Okay.
Like, I feel like I'm someone who deserves to look pretty. So I'm going to, and I think that that's not always the case. There's times where people try to fix outward things to heal something on the inside. But I do think that dressing a nice way, or like, you know, women who always wear heels or they always wear makeup, I'm like, God, that's so sad. But maybe it's because they respect themselves and they want to look nice.
Well, that's the thing also is like making sure that your mind is talking in positive. So it's like,
yeah, oh God, it's like a hardest thing. Yeah,
it's not easy, but you know, you can say, I choose to take care of my skin, so I'm getting the lip flip. For me, it's self-care,
yes,
as opposed to, you know, something negative. Like,
no one judges you if you clean your car or your house, or you get your kitchen remodeled, you get new, you know, tires put on your car, but you get lip filler and people think you're like one of the saddest people that could ever live, or you know what I mean? Like,
no one
judges me if I do Pilates 3 times a week. That's such a good thing. Well, it's transforming my body. What if I had a surgeon just do it quickly? How is it different?
Well, I once was judged for trying to upgrade my car because I guess in man world, your car is like your body, is extension of your body, and it's view. I one time tried to put a expensive stereo system into a really shitty car because I worked at this deli and I had all this extra money and I didn't have anything to spend it on. I was in high school.
And that's what we used to do in the early 2000s.
Yes.
Is
yes.
put nice stereo systems in shitty cars.
Yeah, I had a 1990 one that would like Volvo. Click on. It was, yeah, exactly. And it had that thing, the plate that could fold the down. Plate. You could put a CD in it.
Wait, oh, it would go it like it would tilt down.
Yes,
like
it would screen. Tilt down. You could
fuck,
put a CD
yes,
in
dude.
It. And then it
those
tilts back
coolest.
Up. And it had the audio waveform thing popping, so it looked like your car was like a disco.
You had it would like, it was like a little screen that would show the waves
yes,
of the audio.
Show the waves
dude,
while
I mean,
I'm driving.
It's, there's nothing cooler.
How do you know about this,
because
Nikki?
I was in high school in the early 2000s, and this is what people were getting put in their cars.
Gotcha.
And it was... You know, Huffy had one. I got one put in the bastard.
I remember you did get
yeah,
a new
yeah, we were all
stereo.
Going to audio specialists and dropping our cars
yeah,
off and having right. them flip our cars. It was a thing I read about recently. Like, why did we all decide to do this?
Because
they came with
could.
Shitty audio.
Yeah.
And suddenly yes. the audio was making bigger advancements than the car companies could put in the cars. Okay, yes. So Brian, you did this.
I had a 1990 Volvo 740 Turbo, which remember those Volvos that were like a box? They were like boxy cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they had the backward seats in the back.
No, they were a regular
no,
car.
No, he's talking about a sedan.
Yeah, it was a sedan, but it was like a square. You know how cars these days are smooth and like there's like a
yeah.
they're very smooth and like they're circular and there's no sharp
yeah,
angles.
A Volvo thick now.
A Volvo from the 90s was like
voluptuous
a couple of rectangles on top of each other.
So right. They totally were. They were like
yes.
a child's drawing of a car.
Yes,
right.
like his hands not formed enough to do smooth arcs yet.
yes.
Or like an Etch-a-Sketch. And
yes,
so
yes.
that car was like on its last legs, and I put this thing in at Circuit City, the now defunct Circuit City.
Yeah.
The people
drop
there were like we're like, you want us to put this in that? And I was like, yeah. Because it was like a $3,000 system. Putting
yes,
it in a car.
I was
going to
say, God. Was that $3,000? Yeah, it sounds like it.
$3,000. And I could, and I was putting it in a car that I could probably sell for $700. And they were like, you want us to put this in that? And I was like, yeah. And then I could see them in the back.
You
when he's
almost
like,
saved Circuit City.
I did, yeah. I was trying to single-handedly save it from bankruptcy. They were all laughing at me in the back behind when they were like, he wants to put it in there. And then the other guy would go, oh my God. And they'd start laughing. And then they'd see that I was looking at them through the screen. And then they'd go, oh, he's looking at us. And they'd go laugh in private.
And then you screamed at them, but you go, don't take offense. I'm an eight. I'm just
that's
enthusiastic.
That's right.
I'm not
I just
mad.
Started saying, but this is what I want. I worked hard at the deli.
And that is totally the way you talk.
Yeah. I work very hard
that's
at the deli.
Coming
Brian,
out.
A thing you do on stage that I love is like if the audience doesn't like a joke or like isn't on board, he'll be like, so you don't think that that's weird that happened? Like he'll check with them and go like, I just want to make sure you don't think that's comical
good.
That I just said that, and he'll repeat it. And then they have to like, they're like, well,
yeah.
actually you're right when
they
you say it
agree.
Like that.
Yeah.
But he will check with them.
Good.
I'm always like, okay, I guess that wasn't funny. But he's like, wait a second. So you don't think that is interesting that
yeah.
I just, that I
for you.
Press the emergency that- stop button on an escalator. You're
yes.
all just okay with that?
Yes. Sometimes so you funny. Say, there's two things that happen. One is sometimes you say something that 95% of audiences thought was interesting, and for whatever reason this one audience decides it's not, they deserve to be yelled at.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
your
all
feeling. About. Oh my gosh, I totally know that feeling. Okay, we'll be right back after this. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett-Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time,
Self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Final thought. So Noah's wedding, I guess.
I don't know what's going on with Noah's wedding.
Well, she got married.
What?
Yes.
Noah's married.
When?
Two weeks ago?
About a month ago.
Oh, congratulations. I heard the wedding noise, but
Didn't you listen to the episode where we went in depth into her wedding?
No, we didn't. It's a joke. We keep forgetting to talk about it. So I wanted to talk about some things. First of all, leading up to the wedding, I've had three friends get married in the past year.
God.
And something that upsets so many brides, and I wish we would all stop doing it, is like people giving advice when they're not asking for it and getting in brides' minds. And this is for upcoming mothers as well.
Yeah.
Like, stay in your lane. I don't care how many kids you have. Their experience is going to be different. You're bringing so much to the table that they aren't, or vice versa. Like,
good advice.
Just share positive things.
Yeah.
Stop projecting all your negative bullshit just because you don't like your husband and you had a bad time.
having a baby.
Phrase it from a positive place. Like, Noah, what did you go through a lot of that?
Yeah, I think like if I took away anything, and I knew going into it that I was going to get a lot of like opinions or statements or questions. And I think like for anyone who's getting married, the thing that you need is a backbone. And that could mean anything. That could mean being aggressive in return or just like letting shit roll off your back and just being like, okay, fine, this is probably coming from a loving place, but I don't need to absorb any of this. But it's just very interesting that like all these things come out, all these like all of people's issues, and I wouldn't even say it was all opinions about what we chose to do or anything like that, but just a lot of comments and things that you hear that are definitely like deeply rooted issues that people have not addressed. And for some reason a big event like a wedding or some kind of like big celebration brings that shit out. And I thought it was like very interesting from like a psychological perspective.
Can we get an example?
Yeah, just that. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, without going too much, but maybe like some family infighting that has nothing to do with the people getting married. And not like expecting a bride and groom to play chess. Oh, yeah. With certain people when it could just be like adults handling it and staying away from each other.
Make it about them.
I don't know.
That's the thing that bugs me is like, I see that happen all the time of like brides or brides, mostly brides talking about how they have to deal with well, these people can't be sat with these people. And we're worried that his mom is going to feel, I have to make sure that his sister's brought There's into this thing. It's like, yeah. Like, what happened to this being your day?
Yeah.
You know, like, why do we have to manage all these other people's feelings right now?
That's what I got a lot. And my sister-in-law helped me through a lot of stuff. Like, you know, that or maybe people having certain, like, dietary restrictions.
Oh, give me
a break. I'm not
going
to add, like, chicken fingers to my wedding menu because this and that. Like, she's like, you know,
for
people are adults, right? So people are adults. They
bring
can
your kids snacks.
Bring things. They can bring their sweater. They can
they're
bring
adults.
Their food.
Yes,
they can handle it. They can keep themselves busy. You don't have to figure out what they're doing for dinner on a night that they're there. That there's nothing going on. Just like all these,
as
these
a vegan,
things, it's like, yeah,
bring a backup.
Yeah,
bring a pocket of protein bars. Because you might not have something to
a
eat.
A lot of the time, even if you tell the catering company, like, make sure there's vegan options, a lot of the times they're just not good at the vegan options. And then even if there is a vegan option, it's not very good.
Amazing for me.
I had vegan.
It was, but yeah, that's an interesting thing that comes up is the just unsolicited advice and just people wanting to, like, get involved in
and when you're
just
pregnant,
want to bring up drama. Oh my
when you're
God,
pregnant and everyone tells you, oh, aren't you tired? You should be sitting down. And I'm just like, I've been on this planet for 40 years.
Stop
I know my
projecting.
Legs and my body better than you. I can tell when I need to sit down.
That's another thing. Let's just stop so doing funny. That in general. You must be so this. Like,
yeah.
Can we all just...
Yeah, assumptions.
Do you know why we do that? Yeah. Is because if you are someone that does that, it's because you don't speak up for yourself when your legs are tired.
Uh-huh.
That's you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Other people do. Assume other people do. Assume you don't like to have your needs met and you're scared to get them met. So that is nice of you to consider other people's. Because I do that a lot, too. I know that I do that because I'm always scared to speak up. So I'm constantly monitoring what other people might need to try to get ahead of it because I know they won't speak up. But they will. Because they're you should leave them to have to say something. Don't try to... And yeah, that's so insulting when someone's like, you should sit down. Like,
well,
it's my wedding.
It didn't even come from family or anything. Like, a quick story is one of the hotel staff people, the cleaning lady, I passed her in the hallway and she's like, oh, how many weeks are you? This and that. So I told her and she's like, my daughter just had a baby. Okay, great. Awesome. Then the next day I'm downstairs in the lobby waiting and she passes by me and she looks at me. And she goes, how many weeks are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm 30.
We've been through this.
I'm 27 weeks.
Yeah.
And she's like, 27 weeks? You should be sitting down, not standing. And I'm like,
oh,
wow. That's okay. I'm fine.
Oh, so see, that's like making you feel bad about, like, what are you doing to that baby?
Oh,
I'm
like,
standing is good. It's good. It's I'm building muscle. It's good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's like almost 7 months?
Yeah, almost.
Oh, wow. So this baby's coming.
She's just acting like she's being nice to you and like thinking about your.
I didn't think too much of it, to be honest. And I have to say that, like, for the most part, I had a wonderful time, even though my wedding got rained out.
Did Avi cry?
Avi, so on our first dance or whatever, it was after everyone gave speeches and he started to cry and he was so cute.
Aww. Like during the speech?
Not during the speech. It was just like, I think like it all kind of like hit him.
Aww.
And then we,
does he cry a lot? Like emotionally?
Yeah. I mean, he's cried. I mean, like he cries at
You've
like,
seen it. When,
yeah, I've seen it. But,
did you tell him to sit down? He should sit down.
Yeah. Did you tell him how?
No, I was just like, let's do another dance move. Cause we were just like waiting, like back and forth.
It's
and I was
so
like,
awkward to dance in front of everyone.
Was
honestly,
it awkward?
You know how I am with being center of attention. I don't like it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Tell me.
I didn't care. I was like, you know what? F this.
Yeah, they can watch if they want. They don't have to if they don't want to.
Also, my contact got stained from like my hairspray or makeup or something. So I was only like with one contact the whole time. Only
damn it.
Super vision. So I was just like, I don't give a shit. I only get this once. I'm gonna enjoy it.
Aww.
And I liked our first dance, and then we had a typo negative song that was really fun to dance to, called "I Don't Want to Be Me," and we just like thrashed around with our friends and
metal song.
I got it.
Some family was like, "What's going on? Oh no, a pregnant woman in a mosh pit!" But it was not like that. It was just fun. And I really understood what the wedded bliss feeling was like.
Oh, yeah.
I really felt it. It was really nice.
That's cool.
Are you still? Do you still have it? What does life feel different now being married? Is there a change?
Well, you know, like we did everything backwards. So
yeah, like I guess being pregnant with his child and living in a house together. Like,
you guys got divorced
together.
First.
Yes.
Yeah.
We kind of did. And yeah, but it feels nice. I definitely feel.
Have you said husband yet?
Yes. And that feels good. I like it because I feel like a sense of security and, you know, like the seal of commitment. That we both need to each other.
And the baby didn't give that to you. Like the fact that you're going to have a baby together.
You know what?
Brian.
It was not the baby that sealed the deal. It was the wedding.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh,
I saw the picture. She looked so beautiful.
See.
And her dress was so good. But then she asked Sarah Lena for advice on the dress. Like, how do I make this better? And Sarah Lena told her to put a slit in it, and oh my god.
She didn't say just put a slit. She was like, put a slit and put it all the way up to here. And she pointed to like
where the
femur meets the pelvis.
It was such a good call. It was so
really?
Hot.
Yes.
But she's also pregnant, so she can't look
otherwise I would have looked like a balloon.
She can't look indecent. When you're pregnant, you never look pornographic, right?
Right.
So like you could do the sexiest thing and you still look...
And
like
you
wholesome.
Felt, you felt comfortable with the
it was
slit.
So hot.
Yes, and my boobs grew 3 cups. So I was like, you know what? Let's
nice.
Pump these babies up.
Well, Chris and I went to a pregnant wedding in Australia. She was 7.5 months, maybe 8 months pregnant, and I was like, that's the hottest bride I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Wow.
Like, there is something about
it's
a pregnant
beautiful.
Woman that is so hot.
Yeah.
And I went up to her afterwards and I go, listen. I know everyone's telling you you look hot tonight. And I was like, and that's just what they would say no matter what. But we all mean it. This is next level. I was like, I want to get pregnant because this looks, you make it look like a hot accessory.
First time you've said anything.
No, because I just want to look hot.
Yeah.
But I really was like, you make me want to be pregnant because it makes you look so beautiful.
Well, I cannot wait to see your picture.
Yeah, I'll share them with you. God. They're really cute. And then they did this like, what's the Jewish ritual where you like, he walks around you a bunch?
That's the nervous energy tradition where, yes. Yeah.
So, in the Jewish tradition.
Or do
tradition,
you walk around him?
I have to walk around him 7 times. I don't give him a ring during the ceremony.
I thought they were going to stop playing the music and it was going to be like musical chairs and you're going to have to like both violently sit somewhere because you're just like, dun, 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 dun. But you walk around to symbolize the ring?
So, so that's like my ring to him. That's me symbolizing to him that, you know, I'm accepting him and all that stuff.
Did you
so
do
if he
the,
just gets you to walk around him, he doesn't have to wear anything to Well, actually, yeah, he has a ring
too,
right?
So basically after the ceremony in Jewish tradition, you go down to a private space for 12 minutes and you're supposed to have sex for the first time.
Oh my God. I've never heard
that's
this.
Right.
And that's where
Shalom
you give
Alechem.
Him a present. It's called the Yichud room. Mm-hmm. And you go there and you give him a ring.
Uh-huh.
Or like a gift or anything like, you know, he presents you with a gift or anything like that. And you have sex sealed.
For
you know,
the first time for 12 minutes.
At least 12 minutes.
Mm.
And then you come back and everyone knows you've just banged.
Yes.
And then I go, that was only 6 minutes. What's going on, Avi?
Well, no, the rabbi stays outside the room and makes sure you don't come out before 12 minutes.
Wow.
Oh my God.
The Jews
Wait, did you actually
stamina.
Go to a
no.
room?
We didn't. I mean, we've already had sex because I was pregnant,
right.
So it wasn't like that. But that's where we signed our marriage license, and our friends came down,
and then you
that's
all
where
had
I gave
sex.
Avi his ring. We had an orgy with the rabbi. It was wonderful.
What about the chair part and the stomping on the glass?
Did you do
this? So you stomped on the glass, but the chair stuff where they like lift you in the party and like shake you up and down.
They just do it to the guy, right?
No.
No.
Both.
No.
They lift you both?
Yeah. Oh. Well, I only got raised halfway because, you know, like,
of the,
just
yeah,
in case.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Oh. Wow.
Well, in Australia, after you get married and you say, I do, they step to the side, they sit down at a table, and then they call up witnesses, and then they sign the legal papers there, and it takes like 10 minutes.
Wow.
And everyone just kind of stands there and waits. And Chris, I guess I just would go, what's going on right now? And everyone's like, the signing. And I'm like,
oh,
I don't even know what they called it. But I go, what is this? And they're like, you guys don't do this? And we're like, no.
Well, interesting.
We just want a party. We want some attention. Yeah. We don't really want the documents.
Get that party started.
A lot of
started.
Us don't even sign the documents afterwards. I have friends who have gotten divorced, and they go to get a divorce, and they realize they never even went and filed the paperwork. Oh. So they're not even married. Oh. I have a friend that happened
no
to.
No kidding. Wow.
Because it's just... You could just say that you are. No one's going to question it. But, they, no. but in Australia, they make you sign the papers right there.
They want proof. Where's the proof?
They want proof.
Yep.
At my wedding, I opted not to do the chair thing for the most Jewish reason possible, which is I thought I'd get nauseous.
I thought I'd get nauseous.
And so it's like, what's more Jewish than that?
What?
It should be the tradition that you decline the chair thing because you're going to get nauseous. That should be the Jewish tradition. Not for me. I don't want to put myself in that position. You know?
And then they go, okay, we're going to stomp the glasses. Like, but it's going to make a mess. Is that a Jewish thing? Someone's going to get their foot cut.
That's more Jewish. It's to be like, but what if I cut my foot?
Yeah, that's
something the rabbi warned us about.
Now be careful, you flimsy might glass. Cut your foot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Pick out thin glasses.
It reminds me of the other night when Dad caught a stink bug in the TV room.
Yeah.
And he's like, I hate these damn things. And I'm just like, God, just let it out. And he goes, no, you got to kill it. And so he goes out in his socks and he puts the stink bug in a paper towel. And then he stomps on the paper towel.
Oh, my God.
And he really stomps it. It's like this very dramatic thing. And I go, what, did that feel good? Really? Oh, you let right. him have it. And he goes, no, you got to kill him. I was trying to make sure he was dead. I was like, that was a little much. Mm. And then he came back in. And he goes, God, you could smell that damn stink bug. God, he died.
It was all over his
sock. He expressed before I killed him. And then he goes, oh, he smelled his foot. And it's soaked in. Who stomps on a bug in their sock?
That wow. hard. And
yes, and a stink bug.
Deliberate.
That you know it oozes out the worst smell.
Yeah, well.
Dad hates stink bugs.
No, no one likes them.
I like them.
I mean,
they're kind of, they are harmless.
He built a trap for them.
He's obsessed.
He built a special trap out of liter bottles.
Nikki Glaser pod memes, will you please do a meme about my dad and stink bugs and how he is out to get them.
He wants them to suffer. Actually, he hates them that much.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hate this thing because they fall into this trap and they die.
Dad's a type two and their biggest fear.
What is that? We're going to do his test.
Stink bugs.
I'm going to do a test on him.
No. Oh, yeah. We should.
Yeah. We got to
I'll send
find
you
out.
That. You got to give it.
Gotta
you got to tell out. Me which one he is. Yeah. I'm going to guess, and I bet I'll know.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know what that guess is yet. Okay.
Yeah.
We got to go. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. We will be here tomorrow. Don't even think you, we won't. This weekend, I'm going to be in Grand Rapids and Columbus. I'm so excited about those shows. We are back on tour. It is so fun. Besties have been coming out to shows. It's like the best time meeting you guys afterwards. As always, you can go to the merch booth after the show. Tell Anya that you're a bestie. She'll give you a free meet and greet. You know how it works. So buy tickets to those shows, Grand Rapids and Columbus, this weekend. Yes, this weekend. And then the following weekend, we're somewhere else. Brian, where are we?
Cincinnati.
Gary,
Cincinnati.
Indiana.
Yeah.
And then Cincinnati.
Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Birthplace of Michael Jackson.
Hometown.
And then Cincinnati, birthplace of moi.
We're going to have a bunch of people coming.
Bunch of people. Besties, you got to fill that up too because I don't want to all be my family. All right. Love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Don't be good. Bye.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.